Be thou our wisdom and our true word. You ever with us, and thou with us, Lord. Thou our great Father, and we your true sons. Thou in us dwelling, and us with thee one. Amen. I wonder today about what I'm going to call expansive vision. And this week, as I have many weeks since I moved back to Somerset, I spent some time in the vast amount of national forest which surrounds our great county. And I was reminded that there is something about the woods, about the forest, which expands my vision and causes me to see just a little bit differently. And I was particularly reminded of this when yesterday, after camping, I came back to see a friend who had posted one of my favorite pictures of Pulaski County, of Garland Bend, a place that overlooks Woodson Bend. And it was one of those 180-degree panoramic shots that spanned far greater than what we can see out of our eyes. And it immediately reminded me that nature is just so much more expansive than how we usually see. And that when I'm in nature, standing on top of a high cliff or standing in the middle of a valley of old growth trees, or looking up to see stars, or looking out from a cliff to see miles, I'm reminded that vision in our universe is so much more bigger than we usually see. And that when we are in the city, sometimes we don't always see the wholeness of all of creation, or that we need land and air and water and animals and all the beautiful things of our earth for our very being. Or that we, like a tree or a bat or a bug, are important to the functioning of the universe. And that more important than the tree or the bat or the bug, that we have been entrusted with care for this beautiful and fragile island home. The woods help me to see more expansively. This week, I was also reminded that our patron saint, St. Patrick, is also someone who saw more expansively. We know his story. He was the grandson of a deacon and the son of a priest. And this preacher's kid probably knew all of the Bible stories, yet in proper PK fashion, probably believed none of them. And when he was 16, he was captured by a group of Irish pirates, taken from England to Ireland, and forced into slave labor as a shepherd. And it was during those nights under slave labor, tending sheep, that Patrick himself began to pray and see the world as a more expansive place. His biography states that when he was on those hills tending sheep, that God's faith grew in me and the spirit was roused, so that in a single day I said as many as 100 prayers, and in the night nearly the same, so that while I was in the woods and on the mountain, even before dawn, I was roused to prayer and felt no hurt from it. Wherever there was snow or ice or rain, there was no slothfulness in me, such as I see now, because the Spirit was within me. Eventually, we know that Patrick came out of those woods, freed himself from captivity, caught a boat back to England, and then found himself later back in Ireland, converting pagans and growing Christians. Because his vision of God and the world had become an expansive one. And this week, while I was thinking about all of this, I couldn't help but sing the popular hymn, Be Thou My Vision, over and over again. And I was surprised when I looked it up to find that the inspiration for the hymn was indeed St. Patrick. You know this song. You know the words. Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me save that thou art. Thou my best thought by day or by night, waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. Be thou my wisdom and thou my true word. I ever with thee and thou with me, Lord. Thou my great father, I thy true son. Thou in me dwelling and I with thee one. Riches I heed not, nor man empties praise. Thou my inheritance now and always. Thou and thou only first in my heart. High King of heaven, my treasure thou art. High King of heaven, my victory won. May I reach heaven's joys, O bright heaven sun. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all. Now, it's easy for us to remember Patrick as, well, saintly. And as that of a saint, those qualities that we uphold in him, those qualities of unfeigned devotion to the Lord, even in the face of death, the way in which his vision was so closely aligned with God's, the way in which we remember him for all the great things he did. But I think it is safe to say that before those nights in the woods when God expanded Patrick's vision, that he would not have inspired such wonderful songs. I seriously doubt that as a teenager, Patrick sung songs like Riches I Heed Not, nor Man's Empty Praise. For I imagine that like most teenagers, he loved stuff and liked being admired by others. And I imagine that as a young man, Christ was not his only thought by day or by night, or that his only goal was not set on heaven. But when God changes our vision, like God changed the vision of Patrick, God does inspire us to see the world differently. And part of our task during the last 6 weeks has been to figure out how God is inspiring all of us to see differently. How God is inspiring us all to see our vision and the ways in which we work in the world and the ways in which we are called to be an intricate part of God's universe. And today in our gospel, we read about a man whose vision was changed drastically, whose vision was changed from not being able to see at all to being able to see enough to follow Christ on the way. For we read that as the disciples and Jesus were leaving Jericho, their blind beggar Bartimaeus was sitting on the roadside. And when he heard Jesus was on the way, he began to yell, "Jesus, help me." And the disciples and those around him tried to shush him. But like a crazy person, like someone who wanted something really bad or someone possessed with a spirit or in deep grief, he cried louder, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood and called the man and said to him, "Go, and your faith has made you well. And the man joined Jesus and the disciples and followed him on the way. But I think perhaps the most interesting part of the gospel story for me today is the fact that the man asked Jesus this question, "Teacher, let me see again." Not, "Teacher, let me see." Not, "Teacher, let me see more." "Teacher, let me see again." This man had been able to see from the beginning. From the beginning, he was created to see the world expansively as God sees the world. And so he asked not to be able to see differently or better, but to be able to see again. And this is our task for us today. For in the beginning we were created as God's beloved with calling and task and purpose and love. And today we ask the question, God, help us to see ourselves like that. Help us to see again the way in which you created us. Because God is always in the business of healing us to see how we were created, to restoring us to how it was in the beginning. And whether we're on top of a mountain or in a field or begging in the midst of a crowd, Jesus calls us to come, to be restored to the vision of how God sees, to see differently, more expansively, how we are called to be in the relation with earth and one another, how we are called as God's beloved to have specific gifts and talents and questions to inspire the world around us. Today is the end of our stewardship season, and for weeks we have been talking about how we are called, how God has called us in our lives, in our work, in our being, to offer ourselves back to God. And so in a moment, when it gets time for the offering, we'll have a chance to come forward and to place in the basket not only our offerings today and not only our pledges for 2016, but our lives and our gifts and our graces. And it's my prayer for this Sunday and for this time that all of us, as we bring our gifts forward, might come to Jesus asking for healing, asking that we might see ourselves again the way that God created to be, as participants in the healing of all creation. That we might continue to be healed, to see more expansively, that we might see our money and our gifts intertwined with the whole world around us. So as we come to the altar, may we ask for continually for more expansive sight to see again, so that our blurred visions of selfishness may be turned into the unclouded ability to share with all the world, and that tears may wash away sins and make God's mercy clear, and that we might see ourselves as pure and purposeful, loved, forgiven, free, and as beautiful co-creators in God's healing of the world. And may we, like Patrick, sing songs of praise, songs of prayer, that God might be our wisdom and our true word, ever with us and us with the Lord. For God, our great Father, and we, thy true sons and daughters, that God might dwell with us and we might dwell with God. For riches we heed not, nor man empties praise, but God is our inheritance now and always. God and God only, first in our hearts, High King of heaven, our treasure thou art.